Hey there, my friend. Welcome to episode 169 of the Positioning to Profit podcast. Today is not a solo show. I have a special guest, Michelle Nedelic, who is a career-long entrepreneur, 20 years of experience speaking internationally, executive coaching, mindset, and marketing expert. She works with small business owners to help them understand digital marketing and marketing automation so that they can regain the freedom and profits that they went into business to discover. And you all know is my primary value of freedom. I'm all about that. We have a really great discussion on, is it time for marketing automation, and really understanding what is the difference between certain types of automation, how to incorporate it, how to know when it's time, how to know if your automation is too impersonal, and how to leverage it so that it becomes something that isn't taking over your business, but more importantly, I should say, highlighting what it is that you're doing in your business. Because let's face it, it's important for you to stay in your zone of genius, right? So it doesn't mean that marketing automation also has to cost a lot, right? So she covers on how to incorporate marketing automation, whether you are a solopreneur, as she mentioned, or an eight-figure business, there is a strategy that applies for you specifically. All right. And also don't forget that if you are looking for category of one building strategies for your own business, make sure to check out prolificcafe.com. That's prolificcafe.com. All right, with that, let's get on with the show. And here we go.
Hey there, I'm Patty Dominguez. You're about to discover what it means to position your brand and your business to stand out. This show explores the stories of small business owners just like you who are bringing their message out to the world and impacting their tribe. So if you want to take your business to a category of one status, then hang with me, because this podcast shares everything you need to know about how to be more prolific with your brand so that you can have more profits.
Michelle Nedelic. Oh, it's so good to have you on the Positioning to Profit podcast. I'm happy you're here.
I am. Thank you for having me. I'm super excited.
And so we are going to be talking about Michelle. And why I loved it is because she's cheeky and I love that. I love good humor. That is like a top value of mine. And so when I saw your profile, you call yourself the automation sensation. So immediately I knew, I'm like, okay, I have to talk to this woman, because not only is she a badass and has all of these awesome years of experience, 20 years of experience speaking internationally, executive coaching, mindset, marketing expert, but now she is known as the automation sensation. So she has her own podcast, her own movement that she's creating. And I am very interested to hear why business automation is not just for IT companies anymore. Because I specifically in my community work with lots of solopreneurs, micro businesses, and it sounds like that is something that you can really add a lot of value to in terms of opening the awareness where there's a lot of resistance. But before we get into that, Michelle, tell the audience a little bit about you and how you get to where you are today.
Absolutely. Long story short, in about 2003, we started, and I say we, my partner in business and pleasure, as we like to say, went into business. I became a speaker and started teaching people on the laws of nature that govern success and understanding your mind and how it works, and found a sweet spot with executives, especially ones that had worked as a CEO and then got a buyout and opened up their own businesses. Most of them started their own franchises thinking it was turnkey and it was going to be easy. Not so much. In about 2014, 15, somewhere in there, we realized that in order to go online, which is funny because at that point we're like, hey, maybe this internet thing's here to stay. People are still saying that, by the way. But we figured we had to get online and we had to provide a service in a way that people wanted to hear it. So knowing success and how it works was just way too generalized for the online audience. So I started taking a bunch of masterminds, things like that, to figure out what's the wording, what's the positioning, how does this all work when you go online? And what I discovered was there is a ton of speakers out there that were really good at what they did and they sucked at the IT. And I went, clearly we need to just do this for them, because a lot of people were getting a ton of misinformation about what softwares to use, how to use it, that they should be doing it themselves. And we're like, stop that. You're going to hate yourself by the end of the day. And that's not a good way to go into business for yourself. So yeah, we pivoted and went into the done for you on the tech side of things, to be able to ensure that, especially the smaller businesses, when you say small business in the States, is in there, what, 20 million, which is typically a pretty big business. You're doing all right by that point. Right. But being able to get on their feet and start, because I think being an entrepreneur is the most noble, best thing you can ever do in your entire life, especially when it comes to the whole personal development and transformation that happens. As one person said, it was hilarious, that entrepreneurialism is a gateway drug to personal development.
It sure is. Isn't it true though? I feel like the most because I spent almost 18 years in corporate, or just 18 years in corporate, and it was like so interesting how, as educated as so many of my peers are and stuff like that, but there was never, not once, a conversation on personal development. And it wasn't until I went into the entrepreneur world that I really, and yes, be positive mindset, but it's so different in this space, where I love that you blend that experience that you had in bringing it over into the automation, which is not really heard of. So that's really cool that you've done that. So talk to me about when somebody should start thinking about automation, because there's a lot of service-based entrepreneurs that I work with that they're maybe solo or have a small team of VAs, right? Just on two, three VAs. And they're in that space where I could see that they need more support in terms of automation. So what would you suggest?
From the get-go. So there's people that need technology and there's people who don't need technology. So to be able to back up that bus, if your aspiration is to become a, say, a coach or a speaker, and you want to have 10 clients at 10 grand a year, and you are perfectly happy being there, you work about 10 hours a week, the rest is yours, which is an awesome lifestyle, by the way. I'm a huge advocate of that. You don't need technology. You need a cell phone and a merchant account and your Google Calendar. So you need a smartphone and Google Calendar and a merchant account. But that's all you need to be able to run that kind of business. And it can be a wildly successful, fun, love waking up, excited about talking to your clients in the day. And you can still get referrals at that level. Like, you can run that kind of a business for years. And then there's some kind of people who are special kind of crazy who think, hey, I should have 50 employees. I should add some complexity to my business. And those are the ones that we really want to be able to help, because VAs are awesome and fantastic. Most of them are specialists in organizing your life. So I'm not just talking any kind of virtual assistant. I'm talking most people that will apply to be an executive assistant or a admin assistant. They are fantastic at organizing your emails, at your travel arrangement, at your life. Some of them can run your life better than you can, which is super fun to have around. But they're not necessarily apt in the world of tech. And if you've ever gotten into a conversation with some techies, as soon as the acronyms start flying, the rest of our eyes just glaze over. We're like, huh? And when it comes to sitting on hold with tech support, you don't want to be there. We don't want to be there. Nobody wants to be there. But if, as long as you have somebody that speaks geek to be able to translate and have those conversations to figure out what's going on in the back end, it just makes your life a whole lot easier. Being able to go, hey, I need a landing page for this, and knowing that somebody's going to set up your opt-in, your landing page, your follow-up sequences, your reminders, your SMS, all of that is the bane of most people's existence. And that's where our teams thrive. So we want you to think about it sooner than later, because if you can do that, I'll give you an example. One of our clients, Ann Hessen, wicked smart woman, had an awesome experience in sales, selling for another company, and decided at this point that she wanted to go and start her own sales training company, which is awesome. So right from the get-go, this is the way this is going to be planned. I don't want to be doing the tech. She could have, but didn't. And said, I want to do a little live 3-day event in 2 months. We all went, it's a little short.
Wow.
But because she had the team and because we knew what she wanted, she had it all laid out in her mind. She just had to lay it out in front of us, that she actually made $30,000 at that first event. At the end of the year, she made $100,000 at her 3-day event. She's now crossing the $500,000 mark. And so from the get-go, she had this plan that this is the way I want to scale my business. And if you have that kind of aspiration, then you need to be starting about thinking of, if I could have any kind of support, what would that look like? And how could we set that up? And it really does start in the mind. You have to start thinking that way before you'll be able to implement it.
Excellent. There's a lot of business automations that are pretty easy to use now. And so the idea would be like, well, can't I just do it myself? I know for me, I moved over from an easier email marketing campaign tool and I moved over to ActiveCampaign. I didn't realize that this thing could do as much as it could do. So I had to hire somebody to do that. And I can say personally, I'm not a big fan of you doing it yourself. You should stay in your zone of genius because I'm not a tech person. So what do you say about, oh, let me just do it? Are you not?
Yeah, I am a huge advocate of delegating things and delegating them to people that have the aptitude to do it. So a lot of people will say, hire the best and get it done. There's pros and cons to that, but there's certainly heavy pros towards hiring people that have an aptitude towards doing a certain job. And that brings us back to the whole text doing the thing. The problems with doing it yourself, because it's faster, it's easier. One, you don't learn to delegate when you're doing things yourself. And there's a definite skill set in there. It's being able to understand what information is important. How do you draw a clear picture for that other person? Do they understand what it is that you're asking them to do? And that whole thing is something that you have to build up into in order to be able to build a successful business. Some people are naturally good at it and some people just aren't, and that's okay. But it's definitely a skill set you want to be able to develop. Second is, if you can hire somebody out at, you know, $15.50 or even $100 an hour when you could be making $1,000 an hour, it doesn't make sense for you to be doing any of that stuff on your own. And we used to have this thing called the revenue generating calendar. And it was being able to itemize all of the things that you did in a day, how long you took to do them, and could you delegate that out to somebody else and for how much? And it was everything from, you know, the admin to the commission sales to the operations of the company and hiring a CIO, a CFO. And what did that really mean? And what would it take for you to completely step out of your business? And then which roles did you want to do? And being able to see it from that perspective, you start to realize you are way more valuable in front of your audience, making videos, talking to people, doing sales, whatever that thing is that you do is a much more valuable position for you.
Excellent. I love that. What about the belief that when you implement marketing automation, there's a level of that it's impersonal, right? That it's not personal. What do you say about that?
I say it's up to the individuals to make it personal. Because let's back up the bus. Why are you automating something? So a lot of people right now are trying to automate their copywriting because they just don't want to do it. And it probably won't work. And are there headlines that get higher open rates? Yes. But if you're not giving people the content and they're not feeling it, they're not going to follow through with it.
All right. We are about halfway through with the episode and I just had to stop by to check in on you. How's it going? How are you doing in your business? Because the fact that you're here means that you're looking for some guidance to help move you forward, whether it's personally, professionally, or really working to figure out how you can position your brand to profit as well. So this is something that I hold near and dear to my heart because it's why I'm here, is to help as many women like you broadcast their message, connect with the people that they are meant to serve, and ultimately make an impact in those people's lives. So one of the best things that I've ever done in my career is to create Prolific Cafe. Why? It's because it has the key pillars to help you develop your business. So first one is internal positioning, because let's face it, your business results will always meet your identity every time, no matter what. So if you're struggling with imposter syndrome, or you're like, who am I to put this out there? Or how do I broadcast my message? I've suffered with the same too. And one of the best things is tapping into Meet My Higher Self, which is a 21-day challenge that is going to snap you out of your overthinking and get you into motion. The second component is external positioning, which is the tried and true process of discovering your message, your market, and your offer. And what I mean by that is creating a new opportunity in the eyes of the people that are mulling over the decision on whether to work with you or not. In this way, you can stand out uniquely because that's what you want. You want to be different. And then the last component is activation, because let's face it, marketing's always changing. And I am really at the pulse of all of the latest and greatest strategies. So head on over to Prolific Cafe for more information. That's prolificcafe.com.
So it's a double-edged sword in that realm. But if we back up the bus a bit and go, okay, if you look at anything that you've done three times as a habit, as my father used to say, once is an accident, twice is a mistake, three times is a habit. As soon as you've done something three times and you've done it the same way, you are personal in those first three conversations. Take those conversations and then figure out how to automate them. Does it go into an email? Does it go into a PDF and an infographic? Does it go into a video so that you're onboarding people or your new teammates? Whatever it is, if you've done it three times and you then automate it, it's still a personal message. It's still exactly what you would have said and how you would have said it. You're just doing it in a way that you don't have to be there anymore. And now you can start to bring it to your audience when they want it. So the big thing about online world right now is as soon as we get a compulsive urge, boom, we're on Google. We're trying to find something, answers to our questions, whatever it might be. It could be donuts at 3 a.m. It could be how to stop donut cravings at 3 a.m. And they want to be able to access that information like now. And you're not going to be awake at 3 a.m. So you may as well have, if you know that's kind of, those are the kind of questions you get, you put a video up, you put an infographic up, you put something up so that people can opt in and get access to you right away when they need you. Then they fall in love with you and you go, yeah, this is exactly what I needed. What's my next step? And you're just taking people on that journey of what it's like to be with you and work with you, which is awesome. So it's just giving them the opportunity to be able to see you at your finest when you're just not available.
I love it. I love it. That's so true. It's a thing that I call personalization at scale. So yeah. That is such a great system for leveraging your time, because I have this mantra that I tell my clients all the time. Like, the less I work, the more I make. And what you're proposing is exactly the enabler of that philosophy. So yes. Huge advocate for that. And the cool thing is the personalization at scale. I agree. I see that there's all this AI happening right now around copywriting and doing all these things. And what's so fascinating is that I have used different tools. And for whatever reason, I've had on more than one occasion where somebody will say to me, I could tell you wrote that email. It's infused with a lot of you. And so there's something intangible almost that you can't really put your hand on. It's like you can have the structure of an email all you want, but it's that personalization that will make it that much richer. And so I think it's a matter of combining both, which is what you're saying as well, is that your personal effect as well as adding fuel to it with the automation. So I think
absolutely. Because there's nothing worse than staring at a blank page going, okay, I know I need to write something. What am I going to write? Right. And if you can get the gist of it with automation and being able to get a template of, okay, here's the ideal words based on what you've given us, and then you put your words into it, it tends to make it a lot easier because people are apt to go, I don't like this, I don't like that. They know what they don't want versus what they do want. So when you're looking at a templated email, you can go through with it and just redline it, whatever you do now, delete whatever you don't want, and then add your personalization in there, because AI is never going to get things like sarcasm and the little harassments and little things that you add to make your flair.
Yeah.
They're just going by the standard that most people write. And keep in mind, a lot of this comes from the IT world, from selling SaaS. And those guys are techies selling tech. So it's not necessarily an exact science at this point. It's very nice and it's tempting, but it's not there yet, but it's a great start.
Love it. So what about the philosophy that, okay, I'll do this automation, Michelle can help me. Is it you come in one and done, set it and forget it? Or what do you think in terms of upkeep, the reality of what it takes to have a fully operable function that is fueled for scale?
Yeah, we love to partner with our clients, especially because they're not always apt in business and or in digital marketing. They're super good at what they do, but they just haven't had the time or desire maybe to delve into these other industries. And so we want to be there to be able to help them to make the best decisions as fast as possible. And oftentimes it's helping them to strategize. What's the end game? What do you actually want to do? Do you want to do live 3-day courses that lead into a $10,000 coaching program? Do you want to paint houses one-off and just go through a neighborhood and take care of them? How do you actually want to your days, your weeks, your months to go? And then reverse engineering that to figure out what the best marketing strategy is and then going into the tactics of it. And we want to make sure that our clients are always doing something to be able to move their income forward, because a lot of them will go into fulfillment and then they go down into the, oh, I need to get more sales now. And then they'll fulfill them and they go into the sales. So they end up with this roller coaster of income, which is one, not necessary. And two, we need to be able to work together to figure out what that ease is. Because even if somebody's got a seasonal occupation, they may still want to have a couple of months off for holidays. And you want to be able to figure out, how does that all work in the digital world? How do you turn it off? And how do you turn it on? And a lot of people don't realize that, you know, when something goes wrong in your IT, a lot of people go, this isn't working. I don't know why. Sometimes it's obvious to the IT guys, and sometimes it's just not obvious. They got to go in there and figure out what's going wrong. And if they have an understanding of the systems that are already in place, it makes it way easier to be able to go, okay, this is working. I know it is. This isn't. Hey, can you guys test? And being able to put in the maintenance so that you're getting predictable results on a consistent basis, like you're looking for. And really understanding that it's not a one and done thing. It can be. That is the nirvana of marketing, but it's usually the end result of marketing is after you've put in 3 years of grind and figuring this out, then it's, hey, this one works. Yay, we'll set that one. And then entrepreneurs, being the special kind of crazy they are, go, hey, I think we need to make more stuff. And then you got more ideas and then you keep going.
I love it.
Yeah.
Love it. Said, and I totally agree. And it's, yes, entrepreneurs are crazy for sure. It's so funny because I'm like, I wouldn't have it any other way. It's just all right. So let's turn the corner over to the fast five questions. And I'm just going to ask you five questions, I should say. And then you answer organically, whatever comes to mind, don't judge it. Just say it. It's all good. Are you?
I'm warning you.
I think I may need to have the extra explicit filter. No, I'm kidding. And if that were the case, it'd still be fine. Okay. Are you ready, Michelle, for the fast
five? I'm ready.
Okay. What is your current state of mind?
Great state of mind. Happy.
Yay. What is your greatest extravagance?
My greatest extravagance? Tiaras.
Tiaras? Do you have them?
I have tiaras. Yes, I have three. I have a little princess one. I have one that looks like a queen one. It looks almost more like a crown. And one kind of in between. And I think it's a fashion statement that we need to bring back.
Oh, I love it. Okay, I'm on that bandwagon. I love it. Because honestly, the options are limitless.
Right?
Right? You're right. I'm for that. Okay, what cool tool have you discovered that has made your life that much better? And I love this question for you, the automation queen.
Except for my greatest tool that makes my life easier is hiring people. I love hiring people. I love having a team. They're fun to work with. They're spontaneous and they do all the stuff I want to do.
I love it. I love it. If you weren't an entrepreneur, what would you be doing as a career?
Does 100% commission count as sales? Or is that an entrepreneurial thing?
Yeah.
There's no way. I got my sister fired me. Like, I can't work for anybody else.
I know. I'm right there with you. It's so interesting because the first time that I was presented with a concept of values, and I did this whole values exercise, and I recognized that my highest value was freedom. I'm like, oh, that explains why I would tell people to F off if I didn't like what they told me, or why I was so resistant, or I was such a contrarian. I'm like, this makes sense, you know?
I am high rebel freedom fighter. That is my biggest cause. And my biggest thing would be to rally people and teach them how to be an entrepreneur if I had to do that. And I'm like, okay, I could be an artist, but that's still entrepreneurial. Although I did do a special kind of crazy. I got my forklift operator's license just because I could. And I thought it'd be fun. And I did it in 6-inch stilettos with 1-inch nails. And I passed on the first go round. I'm like, can I do it again just for fun? And he's like, no, you made the guys feel bad. Yeah. I just wanted to go and see if I could do it. And I did.
That's hilarious. Okay. Last question. See how we've diverted now. Last question. After all is said and done, what do you want your legacy to be, Michelle?
Fun. Life is fun. And I get it. The markets turn and they twist and they go up and they can go down. But when you can find opportunity in madness, you have a special kind of skill there. And then all of a sudden, whether things go in the way you want it to or they're not going the way you want it to, you can find the opportunity in them and play with it and have fun with it. And I think that is magical.
So well said. All right, Michelle, you have something super cool that you want to offer here, the viewers, that you all must take advantage of, because this sounds really juicy. So will you please tell people about this amazing report?
Yes. So this is a website audit, which goes through and scans your website, and it comes back with about a 30-50 page report, depending on the size of your website. It's a $500 value for this report. And what it does is it goes through your what we call green lights, yellow lights, and red lights. So the Google gods are controlling your traffic, whether you like that idea or not. And sometimes they're giving you green lights, which is awesome. That means you're doing things right. Keep doing it, and they'll tell you why it's right and how you keep doing it. Sometimes they're slowing your traffic down, which means that not as many people are getting access to that page as you might hope. And it's dependent on their algorithms and who is most likely to go there and appreciate it, but there could be a lot more traffic there, and they'll tell you why, things you can fix to do that. And then some of them are going to be red lights, and that means Google is stopping traffic from going to that site. And it's usually because the page doesn't match the topic of the page or things like that, or you have broken backlinks, or people are expecting something, but they're bouncing off it. You got to fix those red ones first. But if it's all Greek to you, at the end of that report, there'll be a link there that you could book an appointment with me, and I'll go through your report for you so that you can give it to your team and run with it if you want. Or if you have other questions about strategy or marketing, happy to help you with that. And if you potentially want to look at working with us, we can talk about that too, but it's definitely no strings attached, just a nice big red bow.
And how do people find that?
They can go to awarenessstrategies.com/website-audit.
Awesome.
Sure, that'll be in this.
awarenessstrategies.com/website-audit. Yes, it will be in the show notes. So you can head over to the website there for the direct link and definitely check that out, because that is very cool that it sounds very comprehensive and it's going to give you the exact effectiveness of your website where the opportunities are, which is also great because it builds that awareness so that you can say, oh, this is what I need to chip away at, right? This is what I need to work on for my website in order to make it better. Michelle, thank you so much for joining me on this episode of Position to Profit. I really enjoyed our conversation. I wish you continued success, and you will absolutely have to stop by soon for another episode and see what's transpired for you.
Thank you for having me. I had a lot of fun, and I'm glad you enjoyed it.
Thank you. Hey there. Thanks for checking out the show, Positioning to Profit. It means a world to me that you've stayed here till the end. And if you love the show as much as we love putting it together for you, will you please do me a favor and leave a rating and review over on iTunes? It would really help the show and to get the message out. And when you do me a favor, send me a message over on socials, either Facebook, TikTok, Instagram, any of those. Let me know that you left a review. Not only will I give you a shout out, but I'll be in touch with you to send you a little something something as a thank you for what you've done. All right. Also, like I mentioned, I'm on the socials, YouTube, TikTok, Facebook, Instagram, LinkedIn. Please do make sure to connect. I love connecting with new people, and it just, again, really helps to get the word out. So thank you so much again for checking out the episode. And if you're looking for some goodies, head on over to my website. You can just go to positioningexpert.com and it'll take you right to my website. Lots of good stuff there. All right. See you next time.